Matthew chapter 13, if you have a copy of the scriptures in front of you, beginning in verse 1, we read, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude, stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying..." Now, we're just going to stop for a moment and rehearse a little bit the setting for us. Here we have Jesus, the very same day that he has been teaching. He's been confronting the false teaching of the Pharisees. While he's doing so, his mom and brothers come and want to see him. And he says, "Look at these disciples. Behold, my mother and my brethren." And so Jesus is very provocative in the sense that he is teaching and saying things that people have never heard or thought of before, and he is causing them to think about who they are, what they believe, what do they teach, what do they hold to as near and dear to their hearts and lives. Now he's sitting in a boat. The crowd is so great, he sits in a boat in the water, and he's teaching them as they're sitting on the shore. And Matthew now tells us he teaches them in parables. Parables are stories. And we like stories, don't we? I know I like stories. I know that whenever I sit under a teacher or a preacher or whatever, when they break into a story, I'm like, whoa, I start to listen again. I lean in. And I'm very well aware of that with you guys. It's fun to watch that happen. And so he starts this, he shares stories, but listen, these are stories that are packed with meaning and are mysterious in that they are not readily understood. In other words, when Jesus tells the story, the majority of the crowd is left with, "Huh? What did you just say?" And so often what we find is that they just take it as, "Oh, he just has just said this crazy story," and they leave it at that. But what Jesus is doing is actually he's fulfilling the scriptures. And the text that is before us in Matthew chapter 13 helps us understand why Jesus spoke in these parables. You understand that Jesus is a Jew, and he's speaking to Jewish people. You understand that this great multitude, this crowd, is made up of various different people in their walks of life, and their status as far as their belief in the Lord. You have the Pharisees, the scribes, religious leaders, who are very much at this point against Jesus, and they want to get rid of him. He's causing a disruption. You have the majority of the crowd who are listening in and curious about Jesus. They've heard great things. They've watched him do miracles. And who wouldn't be curious? Who wouldn't want to go hear this great preacher, this miracle worker? But then you have a smaller group of disciples. I believe this is more than probably just the 12, but definitely including the 12 that have been named. But people who are committed followers of the Lord Jesus. In other words, when he says things, they lean in and they want to know more. And you're going to see that laid out in the text. So what is this parable? The first one that he shares, he says, middle of verse 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed..." Oh, by the way, a sower. Young people, what is a sower? What is a sower? All right, adults, what is a sower? All right, so we're not talking about a needle and thread. All right? How many of you thought it was a needle and thread? All right, okay. Thank you for your honesty. All right. No, I listen, we don't talk about sowers today in our culture, right? We have corn planters, machines that plant seeds in the ground, right? Farmers, isn't that right? But in these days, they had farms, but you had someone who's dedicated to the task of sowing the seed, and that is they take the seed out of this bag, and they will scatter it across the field. Okay, so that's the image that you need to get. All right, so as Jesus is telling this from a boat in the water, two people on the seashore, who majority are farmers, some are fishermen, a sower went forth to sow his seed. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And yet others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And that's Jesus' way of saying, you who are truly understanding who I am, may you lean in and understand what this means. As Jesus shares these parables, it's about his message, but you know what? It's about the messenger too. Because the audience and the listener, as they are listening to him, they are evaluating what they think of him. Who is this preacher? I mean, we do that with speakers. We evaluate that what comes out of a person's mouth according to the character of that person, of that speaker. And so Jesus very much has been a disruption to the normal Jewish life. Things are different. There's a lot of buzz going around in Galilee and Judea about this great preacher and miracle worker. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came, verse 10, and spake and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? All right, so that's what Jesus said to the crowd. That's what he preached. He preached the story, and then he said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you were some of the crowd, you would look at that, and you would have a lot of things going on inside of your mind. If you questioned who Jesus was, or if you found Jesus as the enemy, you would think he's crazy, he's ridiculous, he's just a storyteller, and he makes no point. But if you are truly curious and realize that this man just might be the Messiah, and he tells a story like this, just perhaps there might be a meaning that could change my life. That there's a message in here that I need to hear in my heart. Well, the disciples, that's where they're at. You notice they come to him and they say to him, why are you speaking to them in parables? You get it? You hear that? Why are you, he doesn't say, they don't say, why are you speaking to us in parables? He says, why are you speaking to them in parables? And so we've got a group of people here, of followers, of disciples, who are leaning in and recognizing that what Jesus is saying is not just some story, but it's a message that can change people's lives. And he has changed their life. And so he answered, verse 11, and he says unto them, because it is given unto you, disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. How many of you wrestle with those statements of Jesus? They are hard. They're hard statements, aren't they? Because it sounds as if Jesus here there's these people that are out there, and it's almost as if like he doesn't want them to hear. As we contemplate and think about our great God, again, we need to realize who we're speaking about. This is Jesus. This is Jesus who is God, who has claimed God to be divine. And as God, he understands people, and he understands the heart of his Father. And he understands the message of the gospel. And as he is proclaiming parables that do not make sense, and he knows it, that do not make sense to many, many people, what he is doing is he is preaching the truth because he knows that there are some who will hear and will understand. In this context, it's the disciples. And the disciples are grabbing hold of these truths, and Jesus is speaking a blessing upon them. Blessed are you, for you have heard and understood, and you have seen. But there is a recognition in the scriptures that there are going to be people, and there have been people, who do hear and don't understand. And listen, God is not shocked nor surprised by this. Who opened up your eyes that you might understand? Was it by some mustering of your will? Was it by you saying, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through? Was it by some great person coming and saying, I give you understanding? How is it that your eyes have been opened to the wondrous truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel? How has that happened? Can you point to anything, person on this earth, and says, that's why? No, it's the grace of God that's opened your life, eyes to him. In his time, at his choosing, his place, and yes, he probably used other people, he used scriptures, but it was the working of God. The Jewish people, they delighted in what they could do, so that they might feel good about their relationship with God. The law had become their means of quote-unquote salvation. And so therefore they delighted in what they could do. Jesus is confronting that and helping us as readers, helping the disciples to understand here that, listen, people have to realize that it is God who draws. It is God who opens up the eyes that they might see and understand Him. We have people in our lives we're praying for. And you do too. That perhaps, you know, we feel a little bit frustrated. It's taking so long. Why, God, aren't they coming to Christ? Why aren't they walking with you? And we pray for them, and we pray that God would save their souls. And you pray too. Why do we pray? We pray because we know and we understand that it's God who changes a heart. So Jesus speaks in these parables to help the people, to bring them to places where they have to make decisions about who He is. Because indeed, if they understand and embrace Him as the Messiah, then they will understand what He has to say. The parable of the sower presents for us one who sows, presents a seed, and presents four types of soil. Embedded in this parable, we find lessons. We find lessons for the sower. And we also have admonitions from the soil. I've heard various different preachers at times retitle this the parable of the soil. And I can understand why. But as I was reading through this last time, I saw that Jesus already gave it a title. Verse 18 says, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower." So that tells me something. If Jesus titles his own parable the parable of the sower, that means there's something about the sower he wants us to understand. Something he wants us to know. That's what this parable is titled, Parable of the Sower. What are the lessons for the sower? Well, we got to think through the sower, first of all. The sower, as we've already said, they're spreading out the seed. Best we can understand from Jesus's story is that the sower comes across the land as it is, has been prepared, as it is before him. There is no record of this sower going before and plowing the soil or doing any of that. We have the sower just coming onto the field and he begins to sow his seed. And so we understand that the sower comes across soils that he has not prepared, that he has nothing to do with. His job is to sow the seed. We also know and realize that to be a good sower, to be a good seed planter, you have an understanding of your job. Your job is to plant the seed. So, you know, clearly a sower is not going to just carry the seed through the field and say, "I've sowed the seed." No, he's actually going to take that seed out and he's going to scatter it and spread it across the field. We also know that the sower understands the process of plant life and plant growth and understands that the sower wants to see the seed grow, right? I mean, you plant a garden. You plant the garden not because you just enjoy the planting. Maybe some of you do, but you plant the garden because you want to see it grow, and you want the benefits. You want the fruit. You enjoy seeing it come up and flourish. And so the sower understands his purpose. I am here to plant the seed so that this field is fruitful. Not just so that this seed is out of the bag, but that this field is fruitful. But Jesus, as he's sharing this parable, he's with all those things in mind, and these would have been natural understandings of the sower to the crowd of people listening on. He understands his purpose, and he comes across soil and ground that it's not been his job to prepare. He scatters the seed that the field might be fruitful. We also know that he's been given this seed. This is seed that he's been given to plant. All right. So we have this sower who's scattering the seed. Jesus, in verse 19, he says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Now the seed is what? The word of God, or the word of the kingdom. Jesus here is explaining clearly for his disciples this parable. He's explaining it and bringing it to light for them, helping them to realize and understand it. Now, he's speaking to disciples who are leaning in and wanting to know and understand. What do we know about these disciples? Well, we know that these disciples have been called by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, to minister. Back in Matthew chapter 10, after Jesus names all of the apostles, chapter 10, verses 2, 3, and 4, verse 5 of Matthew 10, we read, "These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." These disciples, at least this 12, are preachers. They have been sent out already by the Lord Jesus to what? To go sow the seed. To preach. And what Jesus is describing here is that the sower has planted the seed and some of it falls by the wayside. Some of it falls in the stones. Some of it falls in the weeds. Some of it falls in the good soil. Lessons for the sower. Sow your seed. Sow the word of God. But realize that the soil is prepared by God. Realize that the results are up to Him. These disciples have already gone out to preach, and they will be sent out to preach again. And they are commissioned at the end of this book to go ye unto all the world. And so that great commission has been passed on from generation to generation. And you have preachers who sow the seed. You have people such as yourself that are tasked to sow the seed. And what's the lesson for the sower? Sow the seed. but realize that the soil is prepared by God. We need to sow the seed with great purpose. God's given us that seed, and we sow it with great purpose, realizing that we want it to reap a bountiful harvest, to grow and to be fruitful. I mean, just imagine, why is it that you take the time to sit down with a friend and open up the Bible and share the gospel with them? Is it just because you want to check off, I've done it? No, it's because you want to see that seed bear fruit and this individual be saved and become a blossoming Christian for the Lord. Yeah, we sow the seed. And for these disciples, this is so helpful. Because as they're going out, they're seeing people reject the message of the gospel. They're being laughed at. They're being persecuted. And that just continues and continues even into our day. And so the lesson for the sower, the lesson for us as Christians who sow the seed of the gospel, is to remember God has given you this gospel, the seed. You understand your purpose is to spread it that it might bear forth fruit, but God prepares the soil. God prepares the soil. We know that the Apostle Paul understood this. He used similar farming illustrations when he talked about how some plant, some water, and some bring in the harvest. Well, as you know, there are four types of soil. And I do believe not only is there a lesson for the sower, but there is admonition from the soil. In other words, as we hear this story and the various different types of soils, they are described by Jesus specifically and clearly that we might know that there are different soils of men's heart. You notice in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right, so that coincides with verse 4, when the sower sowed the seed and fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them up. As we take admonition here from this soil, we recognize that there is an adversary, the wicked one. And as we go out to sow the seed, and the Lord Jesus is clear, there is opposition to the work of God. Let us not be surprised nor shocked that we experience opposition. The wicked one takes and catches away that seed before it has time to take root. Verse 20 of our chapter 13, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. We need to understand and be admonished that as the seed of the gospel is sown, people like what they hear when they hear salvation, heaven, acceptance, hope, mercy, and grace, the love, being loved by God. All of these things that are a part of the gospel, It's very attractive, and they are very receptive to these wonderful truths. And so they take what is convenient for them in their life, and they make it a part of who they are. And they will benefit, they say, from these precious things. But Jesus says when tribulation arises, when persecution comes, when they get pressed because of the word, it says, because of this gospel that they have tacitly and on the surface embraced, what do? Well, they turn away. They are offended because of the word. Because it is no longer serving them. You see, they have not yet given their heart to the service of God. You know, as we consider these admonitions from the soil, I believe it's important for us sitting here today to ask the question, what is the soil of my heart? Because I'm preaching to a church, and the church is professing Christians, Christians who have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I am not naive to the fact that there very well could be sitting in this place somebody who's truly not born again, who's truly not embraced the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and perhaps you're putting on a great show. Perhaps you're like this stony soil, and you're enjoying the benefits and the blessings of the wondrous truths of Christianity. But what happens when you get really sick? Perhaps it's a cancer diagnosis. What then? What are you going to say? What about when you go to your next family reunion and they find out that you're going to church or that you are a Christian and they begin to laugh at you, begin to mock you? Or how about people at work that you see every single week and they see you reading the Bible? Or you're a student at school and you do bring your Bible to school and you pray over your lunch at the table, and other students see this and begin to mock and persecute you. What are you going to do then? See, admonitions from the soil. We are called, yes, to be sowers, but there's lessons we can learn from the soil. The third type of soil, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I hope you see the center focus of the word in this text. As you see, it's that the word of the kingdom plays a central role. Jesus wants that to be center here. The word of the kingdom and its impact in your heart and in your life and in the impact of those that we are ministering unto. The soil of their heart will be in one of these four categories. This third category, it falls among the thorns. They hear the word. The seed is planted and it begins to grow. But alongside of it, there are growing thorns and weeds. And we know enough about gardening that if you let the weeds grow, so often they will choke out the plant that we want to grow. And Jesus knows this. He's using this illustration because he's speaking to agricultural people. And listen, it grows and the thorns choke it out. And Jesus tells the disciples, listen, those thorns are these two things. He says it's the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. So we have an opposer, the wicked one, but we live in a world that is cursed by sin, and therefore the current of the world, the pressures of the world, push us away from God, not to Him. The care of this world, the worry and concerns that find their root in the system of the world and its thinking. You know, this can be something that sometimes we may feel is legitimate and good, but when we allow it to usurp the authority of God and His Word in our lives, we realize who truly God is. Who are we worshiping as God? The care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, he says. And boy, Jesus is right, isn't he? I mean, how many of us growing up, we wanted to be rich? Maybe we still do. I mean, I guess I honestly, you know, there was a raffle at a local firehouse while we were on vacation, and they had a truck, and I was like, my it'd be cool to own a little truck, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to have when you live in Rural Grove and around here. Everybody else has trucks. My truck is a big white van. I put a rack on it, by the way. It kind of looks more truck-like. You know, you get that idea of like, I just want more. I just want what they have. Because that's going to make me happy or fit in or whatever it's going to be. And there's this deceitfulness that's all wrapped up in that tends to get our hearts and our minds off of the Word, God and His Word, and onto ourselves and the pleasures of this world. And it's so deceitful, dear church. Listen, hear the admonition from the soil. That the world has cares of its own that want to distract you from the Word. And that this world has riches, and there is all wrapped up this the lies and deceitfulness that goes along with these riches. That you just need this, and you just need more and more and more. And you understand, when you get wrapped up in that, you could just keep on going down a dead-end road. And finally, we have this soil, verse 23, that is the good ground. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Do you notice the distinctive difference here? Hears the word and understands the word. What about the, you know, those of you that are here today, you're just like, man, sometimes the Bible is just really hard to understand. You know what? I'm there. There are passages in the Bible I just don't understand. Does that mean that I'm not the good ground? You know what? What we find here, he that hears it and understands it is one who hears it and has the longing in the heart to want to understand it and knows where to go to find the truth and leans in to the Spirit of God who lives within, who helps us understand it. But you know what? I want to emphasize something even more in this passage that Jesus makes this statement, and it bears fruit. We understand how a plant, it will grow up, but if it does not bear fruit, bears that flower, of what good is it? Right? Now, let that settle in your heart, because what some Christians like to do is they like to take everything that belongs with Christianity, and they try to be as healthy as they can to be a green stalk for Jesus. But the bearing fruit process, whoa. Listen, if you, listen, hear it. If you truly are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to bear fruit. And it's just going to happen. What does that mean? There's going to be an overflow out of you wherein it's going to be clear and obvious that God is at work in this you, in this individual, in you. And there's going to be things that are, there's going to be people that are impacted. There's going to be truth that you're going to teach and share. There's going to be acts of service that come forth that are going to what? Point people to Jesus. And your life is not going to be a life that's a dead-end street for the world. In other words, they look at you and say, oh, he's just like me. But instead, they look at you and they say, there's more there. And they can find out that it's Jesus that's bearing fruit. Because it's not a dead-end street. Your life is such that it reaps benefits for generations to come. That people, when they look at your life, that your children and grandchildren, when they look at your life, they will be able to see truth that will benefit them for years and years and for eternity. Are you bearing fruit? Or is your life just a dead-end street where people just say, they're just like me. There's nothing more that I can learn or find in them. You know what that means, though? It means you got to bloom. What happens when you look out at your garden and you see that first bloom? Where do your eyes go? Boom. You see the color. You see the green, yeah, but there's the color. And the eyes are drawn to the bloom. Dear church, are you blooming for the Lord? Are you bearing fruit? Because the world is watching. And the Lord Jesus Christ, clearly, he has an evangelistic heart. He wants to see others come and follow him. That's what this is heart. He prays for the laborers. And this is us. Listen, we are sowing the seed. What's the soil of your heart? And are you bearing fruit for the Lord? Are there blooms that people can see? Their eyes catch the color of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore they're drawn unto him. Well, Jesus said it like this. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Didn't he say that? Matthew chapter 5. Yes, he did. Well, here he's saying it again. Bear fruit. So today we have some lessons from the sower. Lessons for the sower. For the sower, we've got to realize there's different types of soil out there. But we're not preparing the soil. We're planting the seeds. We've been given this seed. And we understand the purpose of the sowing is that it would bear forth fruit. But there's also the admonitions from the soil. And the true deep question is, listen, where am I at? What's the soil of my heart? You know, ultimately, when you hear these words of Jesus, you might say, hey, these are just words of Jesus. But who's Jesus? You know, ultimately, God has to convince you of who Jesus is. That he is the Lord. That he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that he is one day going to rule this world. But until that day that you submit to him being Lord, King, Savior. The words of Jesus are just going to just whoop, float on by. Hear the warning. Don't let that happen today. Don't let that happen today. What's the soil of your heart? Are you bearing fruit? Are you blooming for the Lord? God, this has been special admonition for us today and for my own heart. Thank you. And as we close in prayer, we pray for those that are in our hearts and our minds right now that we know we want to see sow the seed of the gospel into their lives. I pray for this neighborhood right here that we're living in, and I thank you that I get to live here, and I thank you that I get to have such wonderful neighbors, and I pray for them, and I pray that you do a mighty work in their life. God, we thank you for the grace that you have shown to us that we might have the joy and privilege of bearing forth fruit for your honor and your glory. Thank you for allowing us to be a part. We realize that it is only because of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.